Chapter 39, Rome and the Christians. Nero, the evil emperor. Augustus Caesar was a good and fair ruler of Rome. His people loved him, and his army obeyed him. His reign was a good time for the city of Rome and for all of the lands that Rome controlled. But after Augustus Caesar died, Rome had other emperors who weren't fair and just. They were cruel to their subjects. They got richer and richer and spent more and more money on themselves, while the people of Rome got poorer and poorer. The emperor of Rome was supposed to tell the army how to fight, but the emperors after Augustus Caesar were such bad generals that the army refused to obey them. One Roman emperor even made his horse a consul and told all the people of Rome to do whatever the horse said. The worst Roman emperor of all was named Nero. Nero had everyone who disagreed with him murdered. His favorite pastime was playing the lyre. He was a very bad lyre player, but everyone was afraid to tell him so. So they all praised his terrible music. "When I die," Nero used to say, "what a loss I shall be to the art of music." And the Romans in the royal court all agreed with him, because they were afraid for their lives. After Nero had been emperor of Rome for 10 years, he decided to take a vacation from Rome. He went out to his house in the country and invited his favorite friends to go with him. They had a party that went on for days and days. Meanwhile, Rome was burning. The fire began late at night in a rickety wooden building in a dark and dirty Roman street. No one knows exactly how it started, but the poor families who lived in that part of town often built small fires to keep warm. Perhaps a coal fell out of one of these fires under the dry wooden floor. It smoldered away until the floorboard caught fire. The fire spread to a wall, and then to the entire building, and then the flames leaped to the building next door. Soon a whole section of Rome was on fire. The fire roared along until it came up against a stone wall. The rich people of Rome had built the wall to keep fires from spreading into the wealthy part of town. But this fire was stronger than the wall. The flames leaped right over the wall and kept on burning. The people of Rome realized that this was the worst fire in Roman history. They sent a messenger to Nero to tell him what was happening. The messenger galloped hard until he reached the country house where Nero and his friends were celebrating.
"Your Majesty," the messenger cried, "your city is burning."
But Nero didn't even answer the messenger. He ordered him taken away before he ruined the party, and he didn't return to Rome for days more. When he finally did come back to Rome, he found his people waiting for him. Hundreds of families had been driven out of their homes. Everything they owned had been burned. They were cold and hungry. They begged Nero for help.
"Remember your great ancestor, Augustus Caesar," they cried. "He gave money to every poor family in Rome. Surely you can help us out of your great wealth."
Nero did give some money to the poor and the homeless, but he made a big mistake. He announced,
"The fire has cleared away ugly, broken-down houses and left space for my new building projects. I will take the land where those houses used to stand and build myself a new and bigger palace."
The people of Rome were furious. Nero had been unpopular even before the fire. Now they hated him even more. Soon Nero realized that the Romans were on the edge of rebelling and taking his throne away. He had to find someone to blame for the fire right away.
"I know who set fire to Rome," he told the Romans. "It was those Christians. They set the fire on purpose."
Of course, the Christians hadn't set the fire, but many people believed Nero's lies. The Romans began to persecute the Christians. Christians were arrested and executed. Some of them were forced to fight in gladiator shows. Others were killed by wild animals. Nero's cruelty to the Christians drew attention away from his own selfishness. Christians in the catacombs. The Romans punished runaway slaves, criminals, and Christians by making them fight wild animals. But what was wrong with being a Christian? In the Roman Empire, it was a crime to be a Christian because Christians would not sacrifice to the emperor. The Roman emperors kept control over their people by saying, "Obey us because we are gods." The emperors claimed to be descended from Jupiter, the king of the gods. Special feast days were held every year in honor of the emperors. At these celebrations, all Romans were supposed to worship the emperor and promise to obey only him. But Christians refused to do this. "We only worship our God," they told other Romans. "We refuse to bow down to someone who is only a man. The emperor is not God. We will pray for him, but we will not worship him." The Roman emperors were furious. If the Christians disobeyed them, other Romans might be brave enough to do the same. So the emperors ordered Christians arrested and put in jail. Many Christians were put in prison. Others were forced to fight lions. The Christians were frightened by this persecution, so they stopped holding their meetings in public. Instead, they dug underground passages beneath Rome and beneath other cities in the Roman Empire. They held their religious meetings in these underground passages in secret. The passages were called catacombs. Down in the catacombs, the Christians also buried their dead. The underground tunnels were dark and damp. Stones lined the floors. They were lit only by torches. Shadows lurked in every corner. But when the Christians were underground, they were safe. This secrecy soon made people even more suspicious of the Christians. What were they doing down there, underground? Rumors started to fly around. Maybe the Christians were calling down floods and famine on the rest of the Roman Empire. Maybe they were planning to overthrow the government. "We must wipe out this new and harmful religion," one Roman senator wrote to another. "Otherwise, Romans will cease to worship the emperor." Of course, the Christians weren't calling down famines or trying to overthrow the government. They were just meeting peacefully together to talk about Jesus and his teachings. They protested to the emperors that they were doing nothing wrong, but the Roman emperors kept right on throwing them in jail. Soon, Christians were even afraid to say to people they didn't know, "I am a Christian. Are you?" If they told the wrong person they were a Christian, they might end up in jail. So they decided on a secret symbol. It looked like a fish. When a Christian met someone she didn't know, she might draw a fish on a wall, or in the sand at her feet, or on the edge of a piece of paper. If the other person was a Christian, he would draw a fish too. Then both Christians knew that it was safe to talk to each other. Today you can still see the catacombs that the Christians dug below the cities of the Roman Empire. Some of the catacombs have tombs of ancient Christians in them. Others have pictures that the Christians drew of Jesus. Archaeologists have found fish carved on the walls as well, secret messages that the Christians sent to each other. The emperor is a Christian. The Roman emperors kept on persecuting Christians until an emperor named Constantine came to the throne. Constantine was a fair man. He worshipped the Roman god Apollo, but he didn't think it was right to put people in jail because of the god they worshipped, so he ordered all persecution to stop. No one was to arrest Christians for being Christians anymore. Constantine himself went on worshipping Apollo until something strange happened to him. Different ancient writers tell us different stories about Constantine. Some say he had a dream. Others say he had a vision. But whatever Constantine saw, everyone agrees about what happened next. The emperor himself became a Christian. So, what did Constantine see? One Roman writer tells this story about Constantine's vision. Constantine was marching towards the most important battle of his life. He had fought the enemy for months now and had not been able to triumph. The coming battle was his last hope. Would he win? Would the Roman Empire remain safe, or would his soldiers be defeated, driven backwards by the enemy and forced to surrender? He would know tomorrow when they met the enemy at the Milvian Bridge. He looked behind him at his army. They had fought hard against invaders and won. But now they were so tired they could barely drag themselves along. Their feet hurt. Their heels were blistered in their shoes, and their armor was heavy on their shoulders. Constantine glanced up at the gray, cloudy sky. On top of everything else, he thought, it was going to rain on them. They would be tired, discouraged, and soaking wet. They would have to set up camp in the pouring rain, and no one would sleep well before the next morning's battle.
"Look," the soldier beside him said, "the sun is coming out."
Constantine squinted at the sky. It did look brighter, but...
"That's not the sun," he said. "What is it? It looks like a cross."
Constantine and his soldiers stared with open mouths. Above them in the sky hovered a cross of light, growing larger and brighter by the moment. The golden light from the cross fell across their weary faces until they were forced to blink and shield their eyes with their hands. The grass around them glittered with light. Underneath the cross, fiery letters burned themselves across the sky. Constantine read them out one by one. "By this sign, you will be victor."
"It is the cross of Christ," Constantine gasped. "What does it mean?"
the soldiers asked.
"It means that we must fight for God," Constantine answered. "The God of the Christians."
When they set up camp that night, Constantine sent out an order to his men. "Every soldier must have the sign of Christ on his shield," he ordered. "Until that is done, we will not go into battle." So each soldier painted onto his shield the Greek letters standing for Christ's name. When they went into battle, Constantine led the charge under a banner bearing the name of the Christian God. And Constantine's army won the Battle of Milvian Bridge. When he stood victorious on the bridge, Constantine raised his sword to the sky.
"The God of the Christians gave me this victory," he announced. "From now on, I will always fight under his banner, and I will only worship him."
After he won this battle, Constantine became a Christian. He claimed that the Christian God had helped him to beat the enemy. He made Sunday a holiday all over Rome so that people could go to church. Soon, many more people in the Roman Empire became Christians, following the example of their emperor. After he became a Christian, Constantine decided that the new center of the Roman Empire should no longer be in Rome. After all, Rome was an old city, beginning to look shabby and run down. Constantine moved the capital of the empire to another city that he named after himself, Constantinople. From now on, Constantinople, not Rome, would be the center of Roman power. But that power would not last long. Note to parent: Nero ruled from CE 58 to CE 64. Constantine ruled from CE 312 to 337. The emperors between Nero and Constantine had varying policies towards Christianity, but Christians were rarely tolerated for long.